Our scripture reading this morning is found in the prophecy of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk 3, the text this morning is verses 17 and 18. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. And His brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of His hand, and there was the hiding of His power. Before Him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at His feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy word. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thrash the heathen in anger. For thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundedst the head of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet, and He will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Thus far we read God's word. The text this morning is verses 17 and 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The reason that we meet for Thanksgiving worship service is not so that we can condense Thanksgiving into one day, but instead we meet on Thanksgiving Day, a national holiday that we have, so that we might be reminded what true Thanksgiving is, and so that we on this day have an opportunity to meditate on what true Thanksgiving is. That's important for us because there are certainly wrong ideas of thanksgiving in the world in which we live today. In the world today, there is the thinking that thanksgiving is to be focused on one day. There is the thinking in our day that what is needed is a picture-perfect thanksgiving for a family. And a picture-perfect thanksgiving involves having, a golden brown turkey that is just pulled out of the oven, and that maybe the father of all the home carves before the family and hands out piece after piece of that beautiful turkey that's cooked, and then along with it, all of the fixings. A family's gathered around a large table or large tables in a home or at some other meeting place. And although maybe there's been trouble in the family, there's been some unrest and division in the family, yet they put that all aside for a day and they all have smiles on their faces and they try to let bygones be bygones for the day. And that's what true Thanksgiving is all about, they think. And there's a desire for that to happen because the thinking is, if we can just have this happy day, this perfect setting and this perfect occasion, that will at least for one day take away all of the miseries and troubles of life that are experienced on the other days. But that's just a way to escape. And that's not what true thanksgiving is. Today we are reminded to put aside all notions that thanksgiving is only an appearance, or that thanksgiving is just a day. But also, we're reminded about true thanksgiving this morning, or reminded about this of true thanksgiving, that true thanksgiving is not dependent upon the circumstances of life. We shouldn't think today that our thanksgiving changes this year from what it was in the past years because our circumstances have changed. We maybe think that, well, this year we've less to be thankful for than in other years because our lives have changed so drastically and changed so much, and there's affliction and there's hardship for us in many different ways. The question that we face this morning is this: can we be thankful even when the unimaginable happens to us? Can we be thankful even when the circumstances of life are dark and gloomy around us? And this morning we hear what Habakkuk said. He says, after he paints a pretty gloomy picture of the way things will become in Judah, he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation." In Habakkuk 3, verses 17 and 18, we have a true expression of thanksgiving. It is a true expression of thanksgiving because Habakkuk is saying here that he will be thankful no matter what the circumstances are. He will be thankful at all times. His thankfulness will be constant, and his thankfulness will be unconditional. Won't be dependent upon what he faces in life day by day. He's saying here that his thanksgiving will not be infrequent, but it will be constant. And it will be constant because he rejoices in the Lord. It's because he joys in the God of his salvation. Even when things are not going well for him, he will be thankful. That's his confession. We make that our confession this morning as well. "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." We consider this true expression of thanksgiving then using the theme, thanksgiving at all times. We look first at the amazing confession here. Secondly, at the single focus, the focus on God and His salvation. And then finally, on the only possibility for there to be this true thanksgiving. To understand really the weight of what Habakkuk says in verse 18, we must understand something about the context in which Habakkuk is prophesying in the land of Judah, and something about what verse 17 means for Judah and for Habakkuk as well. Habakkuk was a prophet of God who lived most likely during the early part of Josiah's reign in Judah. Josiah, remember, was only a child when he became king of Judah. He was 8 years old. His father was Ammon, and his father was extremely wicked. Although Josiah began a great reformation in Judah, there was still great wickedness in Judah at the beginning of his reign that carried over from that wicked reign of his father, Ammon. Well, Habakkuk, in the early part of this prophecy, speaks of the great wickedness in Judah. So we know that Habakkuk lived in Judah during a period of spiritual decline and great immorality. Judah had turned from worshiping the true and living God and worshiped idols. And because many in Judah had turned to worshiping idols, violence and wickedness, all manner of wickedness, was found in the land. At this time, Judah was a disaster spiritually. Sin and violence were rampant. Well, Habakkuk responded to Judah's moral decline by crying out to God in prayer. And then Jehovah God answered Habakkuk in a surprising way, at least in a surprising way to the prophet. Jehovah said to him, "Habakkuk, I have heard you. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send the Chaldeans. I'm going to send Babylon to punish Judah." And so Jehovah outlines to Habakkuk what he is going to do. Habakkuk then questions that. His response at first is not the response that we read here in the text. First, he questions Jehovah in his doing this. And Jehovah responds to that in the book as well, by saying that he is going to do this because of his greatness and his holiness. This is the response, this judgment on Judah of his holiness. Now in chapter 3, Habakkuk responds to this judgment of God that is to come upon Judah. Habakkuk looks to the future in the confidence of what he knew from the past, of Jehovah's faithfulness to his people. And so it's in the knowledge of that, in the assurance of Jehovah's faithfulness and love for his people, in the knowledge of the salvation that he's given to his people, that he confesses here in the text, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, although there is this judgment to come upon Judah." And so in the text, Habakkuk then is looking ahead to the future, to that time when Babylon is going to come under the sovereign direction of God. And he looks ahead to that and sees the destruction that there will be in Judah and what that will do really to the economy in Judah. Habakkuk here in verse 17 imagines what will happen in Judah when Babylon attacks. But he imagines that, of course, in terms of the agricultural society of that day. And so in verse 17 we read, first of all, he speaks of the fig tree. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines." The fig was a staple of Judah's diet. They would make cakes out of that fruit. And they would eat that. That was part of the food that they normally ate. And now he's saying that those fig trees would not blossom, and therefore there would be no figs. And not only that, it's not just the figs, but he says that there will be no fruit at all in the land. Then he speaks of the olive oil. "The labor of the olive shall fail." Olive oil was to Judah what we might say butter is to us. It was an important part of cooking and what they used in their making of bread and cakes and all of the rest. And he says here, there will be no olive oil in the land. And then he goes on to say, "And the field shall yield no meat, There's going to be famine in the land. There won't be much of a harvest at all in the land. Really, no harvest at all. And then it's not just the crops. He speaks as well of the livestock. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. If there's no food for the animals to eat, then the animals themselves will die as well. And there will be nothing in the fold and nothing in the stalls. Understand what Habakkuk is saying here. He's painting a picture of complete economic ruin and disaster in Judah. He's not just speaking here about some recession that may be coming in Judah's economy. He's talking about a great depression in Judah's economy. He's imagining the complete collapse of Judah's economy as God's judgment on Judah, as that's handed out through the coming of the nation of Babylon. As Babylon will attack, it's going to be Babylon that in her attack and in what she does there is going to bring this great famine in the land of Judah. It'll be such a great famine and so disastrous that children will be crying out for food and fathers and mothers will have no food with which to feed their children. And yet in all of that, Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in Jehovah. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He's saying, even when there is this complete collapse of Judah's economy and there's nothing for the people to eat, and for himself included, he says, still, I will rejoice in the Lord. He's saying, no matter what the circumstances are, he will praise the God of his salvation. Now we look at those words in verse 18. In connection with that, then, and we learn in these words of the prophet Habakkuk, really two main truths of true thanksgiving. The first one is this: true thanksgiving is at all times. What Habakkuk is saying here is that his thanksgiving to Jehovah God is not based at all upon the circumstances of life. It's not dependent on external circumstances. He's saying here, no matter what the external circumstances are, he will still praise Jehovah. Even if all creaturely comforts are taken away, it's very difficult to find food for him and for the people, he will still give thanks to the God of his salvation. And he's saying, always he will do this. He will continue on in that, no matter what the circumstances. Is that your confession this morning? No matter what the circumstances, I will praise the Lord. I will rejoice in Him and in His salvation. If I were to have preached this text 3 or 4 years ago here in this congregation, the way I would have done it would have been different than I do it today. If I were to preach this 3 or 4 years ago, it would be more like that, imagining ahead what that would be like. Now, we still don't have it, although it's more difficult financially in the economy and in the world in which we live today. It's not the ruin of which Habakkuk speaks of here in the land of Judah. But yet, it's not just something imagined. There's something real about it. Something more real about it for you men in your work. Some have lost jobs. Some have had hours cut. Some to have work. You've cut back on the hourly wage that you charge. Things have changed in the economy and financially for you and for your families. Not only that, but we see around us as well how things have changed for people. High unemployment. Less work for others as well. People losing homes and losing other things as well. Having to sell off things so that they may have enough to eat and to live on. Not only that, but savings and investments have changed as well, and the value of savings and investments and properties are shrinking as well. And we have no promise that it's going to get better. And it may certainly get worse before it does get better. Now, as we take this word and apply it to ourselves this morning, the idea is this. No matter what the financial circumstances I face now, no matter what struggles I have financially in this world, I still will give thanks to my God. That's our confession this morning. It's not based on the circumstances that we face in this life. But there's a second part of true thanksgiving that's found here. And that goes along with the first, of course. The words that are found in the text are rejoice and joy. And we're taught here that true thanksgiving includes joy. Or to put it this way, where there is true thanksgiving, there is joy and rejoicing. Habakkuk says here, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That word joy there has the idea to leap for joy. One who is so filled with joy that he can't contain himself for the joy that he has in his heart. And he expresses that joy outwardly so that he wants to leap for joy. The language here of rejoicing and joy is very strong, in fact. He's saying, no matter what the circumstances of life, even when he doesn't have enough to eat, and when there's economic ruin in Judah, he will leap for joy. He will rejoice. When everything is gone, he says, I will cry out for joy to God. Habakkuk here is not thinking that, well, I'll rejoice because life's going to even itself out. Yes, there's a period of decline, but things will get better. In the end, he's not rejoicing because he knows things will get better. He doesn't wait for the ups and downs of life to balance themselves out, and then he can go back to rejoicing. No, he says, no matter what, no matter what I face, I will rejoice. That's an amazing confession. How can he make such a confession? How can Habakkuk confess such a thing? How can there be joy for him when he considers the ruin that is to come? How can we have joy when there are so many things that hurt us and that are difficult for us? Well, we see the focus that Habakkuk has in the text. His focus is on the Lord. His focus is on the God of his salvation. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. This thanksgiving is not blind thanksgiving that he gives to God. But it's a thanksgiving that is rooted in what he knows of God. It's rooted in his knowledge of God's salvation. And here we see another aspect of true thanksgiving. The deepest reason for thanks to God is found in the salvation of God. That's the question that comes before us then. Are you thankful? Not just thankful for things, but in the end, is this the deepest reason for your thankfulness? That you're thankful for God and His salvation. That's certainly what our thanksgiving must be focused on. It's not that we're thankful simply for the things of this life that we have, for the circumstances of life, for the abundance of the things of this life that we have. Well, certainly we must be thankful for those things. These things have been placed in our lives and they've been placed in our hands by the hands of the Almighty God. But ultimately, thanks is for God's grace. Thanks is for God's salvation. That's what Habakkuk is thankful for. That's why he's going to leap for joy no matter what the circumstances of life are. He knows the salvation of God. That word for salvation here is a powerful word as well. That word salvation here has the idea to be freed. Habakkuk knows that he's freed. That he's freed from sin. He's freed from sin because of Jehovah's mercy to him. Because of the coming Messiah that God had promised. When we talk about this salvation, we understand that we are freed from our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are delivered from the guilt and the punishment of our sins. We have redemption full and free in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that gives to us joy. We want to leap for joy in the knowledge of that. But there's more to this salvation. Salvation is not simply freedom from the guilt and punishment of sin. It's freedom from the power of sin. We've been given new hearts. God has brought us to repentance for our sins so that we see and know our sins and we weep over those sins and we're sorry for those sins. That's His powerful work. He frees us from the power of sin. To be freed from sin in that way requires God's powerful work. But there's still more to this salvation. It's not just freedom from sin, but when we're freed from sin, we have life with God, covenant life with God. We are saved to have fellowship with God and to praise Him forever as His people. And this salvation of God, this salvation is a sovereign and gracious work. Let's not forget that either. God is sovereign in salvation. That means it's all His work. We do nothing to be saved. And it's a gracious work. That's a gracious work means that it's undeserved salvation. He saves us. And in giving to us that salvation, He does what you and I don't deserve. Grace is that. It's giving to us what we don't deserve and not giving to us what we do deserve, which is God's wrath. God didn't save us because we were better than others. But He saved us because that was His eternal purpose to do this. This was His good pleasure for the glory of His great name. The sinner who knows his sin and the wonder and the power of God's grace will know that this is the focus of true thanksgiving. It's salvation. That's what Habakkuk is saying here too. For everything's taken away, and even this is taken away, you understand, in Judah as a judgment of God upon Judah. Not in His wrath upon them, but He's chastising His people who are there in Judah for their walking in ways of sin. But yet, even in that, God's people are comforted in this. They're comforted in their salvation. Beloved, that's our joy today. That's our joy every day as we give thanks to God. We don't connect God's blessing with prosperity. We must not do that and think, well, if I have much and life is easy, then God blesses. But if I don't and life is difficult, then God is not blessing. We ought not to think that way. If we're going through difficult times right now, what do we look to? We look to the fact that God is the God of our salvation. You may be experiencing difficult trials right now. Trials that are difficult. Financial trials. Other trials as well, so that even on this day, maybe getting together with some of your family, isn't all of that all that pleasant because of the difficulties going on in a family. Those difficult trials especially can be accentuated at the time of a holiday. Struggling because a loved one's not here. Either by death or also because maybe that loved one is walking in ways of sin. And yet even in those trials and difficulties that God sends, you can, and in fact you must give thanks to God. And we do because God has given to us the most precious gift. He saved us from our sins in Jesus Christ. We leap for joy today because of that salvation. And that has nothing to do with the circumstances of life. Those circumstances are real. Those circumstances are difficult. But yet there's joy and gladness for us in knowing that salvation. That's the focus of true thanksgiving, God's salvation. And along with that, it's not just on that salvation, but on the one who gives that salvation to His people. The second part of verse 18 says, I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk is rejoicing in that salvation. But in the first part of verse 18, he says this, I will rejoice in the Lord. And the name Lord there in all capital letters, remember, is the name Jehovah. Habakkuk says he rejoices in this. He knows Jehovah. Now that's connected with that idea of salvation. The God of my salvation is Jehovah. Remember what that name means. He's the unchanging God of His covenant. He's the I am that I am. He is the unchangeable God. And do you know what that means in connection with the things of this life? No matter what the circumstances of life might be, we remember that Jehovah's love and His mercy and grace, they're unchanging towards us in Jesus Christ. Things in life change. This year may be much different than last year. You might say in a bad way. But there's one constant in all of life. Jehovah God, who is our God and the God of our salvation. Prophet Isaiah speaks of that. Will a mother forsake her sucking child? God says in Isaiah that that is possible. But it's not possible for Jehovah God to change His attitude towards His people. What that means is Jehovah God always leads and guides His people and takes them in the end to their heavenly home. So Habakkuk's confession of thanksgiving here is rooted in his amazing experience of salvation from Jehovah God. Habakkuk confesses here that he knows that he belongs to Jehovah God in life and in death, and therefore he has every reason to be thankful. And so this is true thanksgiving. You and I acknowledge this morning, I always have reason to be thankful. And my reason to be thankful is not because I can always find some silver lining on that dark cloud that's hanging over my head. No, there's always a reason for thanksgiving and joy, and it's based on reality. It's based on truth. Many today don't want to face reality, and they don't want to face truth. They don't want to face the misery of this life, and they don't look to the only one who can deliver them from that misery. But we know that one who delivers us from the misery of our sin. So we have reason to be thankful today. There may be sorrow. There may be those who are not with your family gathering today who you'd like to be there. We're not there because of death. We're not there because they're walking in ways of sin. It may be today that He's given you severe afflictions and sorrows as well. There's pain and disease, and there's sorrows and depression. As I said earlier, that especially can come out on a holiday as well. And those who have lost spouses especially, they're reminded of the fact that that spouse isn't there. But our joy is not connected. Our thanksgiving is not connected to the circumstances of life. We rejoice in this. Jehovah God is the God of my salvation. And so Habakkuk is exuberant. He's overjoyed. He says he will praise God without ceasing. This is the joy that he has that's shown outwardly. Remember the idea of the word leaping for joy. That means we have a smile on our faces. This is a day of thanksgiving, and every day is a day of thanksgiving. We understand that our feasting today and our getting together with family today, our thanksgiving is not based on that. No, when we get together with family and we enjoy the good things of this earth that God has supplied, this is an expression of our thanksgiving. It is. Being together, enjoying the good things that God has provided, and giving thanks for those things and for all things and for salvation, that's an expression of thanksgiving. We don't look to it to find our joy on this day. This is the joy and thanksgiving that the child of God has that is unquenchable because Jehovah is the God of our salvation. It's possible to have this joy and thanksgiving. It is. Sometimes when we're low and sometimes when we're down, maybe we think it's not possible to have this thanksgiving. Doesn't seem like that can be the experience that we have and the sorrows that we have in this life. But we can have this, and we do have this, because as children of God, we know God. Do you know God? Do you know His salvation that is freely given? Do you know that you belong to Him? Well, as those who know that you belong to Jesus Christ, then that which we give to Him is praise and thanksgiving. We can't not give this unless we know Him. We do not give praise and thanks to God unless we have the knowledge of Him by God's gracious work in us. And so the possibility for us giving thanks on this day is because God has given to us a true and living faith. It's because God has given to us a true knowledge of Himself. He gives to us the assurance of our salvation. And really, this joy, this thanksgiving of which we speak, is an outworking of the true faith that God has given to us as people. Because remember, what faith clings to and what faith always looks at, not what I see with my eyes, but what I see by faith, what I see in the Word, what I hear God speaking, what I know about God and what I know about His salvation. And we're reminded this morning that that's the focus. That's Habakkuk's focus, not what he sees with his eyes. That's real. It's painful. He experiences that, will experience that. But even in that, his focus is up and on Jehovah God and His salvation. And that faith is the gift of God to us. He is the one who opens our eyes to our sins. He is the one who opens our eyes to see our unworthiness. He's the one who opens our eyes to see His beautiful and amazing grace. And He works in us and strengthens us by the Word to cling to that truth that we know of Him. And so it's possible for us to be constant in our thanksgiving, to give thanks to God today and tomorrow and all the days of our lives. While there's much sin mixed in with that, we know. Complaints, sometimes we despair. But then we're reminded, no, we are to be a thankful people, a joyful people. So we confess with Habakkuk today, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for this reminder today of true thanksgiving. We're thankful that we have set before us the truth that Thou art the God who saves us. And may our thanksgiving be focused on that. Well, Lord, there are difficulties and hardships for us in this life. Financial, economic difficulties for some of us. For others, there are difficulties in homes and family. For others, there are afflictions, sicknesses that Thou hast given. For others, there are loss of loved ones. But Father, in the reality of these sorrows that we have in this life, we pray also that Thou will give to us the joy of our salvation in Jesus Christ, so that every day we give thanks to Thee for that. Give thanks to Thee for what Thou hast given to us and we don't deserve. Watch over us in that which we do in the rest of this day. Keep our focus on Thee. In Jesus' name alone do we pray. Amen.